We're so well trained with our little clickers.
We are. We should get a treat every time we
should grab a treat. Yeah. They were so dry and oaty, like way more oat-like than, it was like chewing on a raw oat. You know what I mean? But like, it's not an oat. It's a little cracker, but like, ooh, dog treats. Not, I don't recommend.
That was so funny when you were like, I'm going to eat a dog treat and I'm going to test it first. And I was like,
yeah, well, because I wanted to make sure I wasn't going to like gag live on camera.
You just wanted to eat too. I know your ways.
I ate half, okay? Half off camera, half on camera.
Okay.
So it totaled to one.
A total of
but
one.
But yes. Yeah. But yeah, I put it in my mouth twice.
Ooh.
Ooh, there's a clip.
Hi, welcome to Tea Lacquered Ladies, the podcast about nail polish and nail art by the ladies who stream it. I'm Stephanie, aka Fanatic, here on every social media platform that matters. I'm an unprofessional nail artist, and I like to make fan art on my nails.
Howdy, my name is Danny, and you can find me as Danny Shout online. I'm a science educator by day and a nail art hobbyist by night. On stream, I like to create scenes with themes on my nails.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Two Lacquered Ladies.
Well, hi.
Well, hi there. Deanna was so happy to hear the sassy Southern cat. She mentioned it in the comments.
I love that cat.
We're back. We have the cat with us in studio. We have my cat with us in studio.
Oh, we do? Oh, kitty.
We do. She's somewhere over there.
I cat sit, cat sat. I checked in on my friend's cats while she was out of town this week. And I looked everywhere. I could not find either cat. But like, there was fresh litter and food had been eaten. So there were signs of cat. But I could not find those cats anywhere. So hopefully they're okay. I'll give you an update next episode, I guess. But I did my best.
If you cat sit, you usually will not find the cats. Unless when people cat sit ours, they will definitely find Shepherd, but they will never find Neko. But yeah, so it is Pride Month and we are partying. We are going full force with the Pride nail art. I can't wait to actually, like, I did a birdcage themed nail art because, sorry, I thought you were going to say something.
No, you're good. I was going to get excited about it because they came out so cute. You used the Mooncat Technicolor Dreams collection, which is just these, like, the perfect soft pastel, almost bleached neons, but, like, just soft, beautiful Art Deco Miami colors. Is Art Deco the right?
Art Deco.
What is Miami?
That's Art Deco, but like, it definitely, there's different places that have Art Deco in different ways. Like, when I think of Art Deco, I think of like darker colors or jewel tones or things like that. But yeah, definitely in the South Beach, Miami area, it's like pastels, neon pastels, but all sorts of different, like, and muted pastels.
Yeah. Coastal Grandma.
Which Coastal is Grandma Core.
Our latest obsession. We love Coastal Grandmas and and they're just so beautiful.
Yeah, but on the first, well, actually, okay, let's go back. So okay. On May 31st, I believe, is the 31st for May?
Let me double check. Yes, that was last Friday, May 31st.
Yes, we watched The Birdcage again. We watched it last year, but we watched The Birdcage in the Discord. And then the next day, I released my curated collection for The Birdcage, which requested by viewer Overthinker Overanalyzer on my YouTube page. And I was like, well, yeah, I'll do that for Pride. That would be great. And because of that, I've gone on this huge rabbit hole for The Birdcage. I know way more about it than I did before. I watched La Cage aux Folles, which it is based off of. And I think The Birdcage, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, nah, The Birdcage kind of blows that one out of the water.
Yeah. I mean, The Birdcage has Nathan Lane and Robin Williams in it. So I don't know how anything could top it.
Yeah. The other one has its charms. Like, I really like the person who plays the Nathan Lane role in that one. But also, they cut out, like, the entire ending sequence, basically. Like, there is still he's not a senator. He's some French variety of something. I don't know French politics. But they cut out the senator and they also cut out most of those parts. And there isn't really a part where they fool the senator and he like learns to like them. Like that section's like 45 minutes in the Birdcage, and the Cage Full, it's like 15 minutes. So yeah, it's really, really tapered down. And I think that even in that movie, it should have not been tapered down so much. But I don't know if they thought that they wanted him to like actually fool the politician or not. I have no idea what they were thinking when they made La Cage Full.
I don't know. I just love how that's the whole movie's fantastic. But yeah, the senator who do you remember who plays him?
Gene Hackman,
just completely falling head over heels in love with Nathan Lane's character. Alfred is just it's precious. Just every moment is precious of that. She's just a traditional girl.
Yeah. She cries if you call her mother.
Oh, Mother Coleman.
Yes. Oh, Mother Coleman, I love you. Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing movie. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot this Pride Month about what makes a really good Pride movie, because I think that it's different from what makes a really good queer movie or really another kind of movie. And I think it has to show, in my opinion, there has to be the struggle being shown and there has to be the triumph over the struggle.
Yes.
So like
no sad gays, or at least not permanent sad gays.
Not permanently sad gays. Yes, exactly. Because that's the thing, is I think that if you're watching like movies that are just like have no oppression shown and are just happy, like I'm not saying those are bad. Those are great. I hope they make tons more movies like that.
Yeah. That's just representation at that point.
Yeah.
They're just showing a normal, happy person who happens to be queer. That's just representation. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the sad movies, the Brokeback Mountains, the Boys Don't Cry, there's no triumph in those. And so, therefore, I don't feel like they are appropriate for Pride. They're good, but they're not Pride appropriate, where I think that struggle, triumph. So Every 90s drag movie...
You're in. Which we might rewatch some of those this year. Last year we watched Tu Wong Fu, which I absolutely fell in love with. Same with Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Absolutely fell in love with that movie. And it's exactly, they're good Pride movies. Exactly like you said, there's a struggle. It shows that it's not all sunshine and rainbows. But at the end, it can be sunshine and rainbows because we stick together as a family. We are family. Now, repeat that 1,000 times. Basically. I never realized until Lackerdactyl pointed it out in the chat just how, like, kind of obnoxiously that gets repetitive at the end of the Birdcage.
Yeah.
Never noticed it before. And then he pointed it out and I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's enough of that.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see what movies we might watch. So far, we're having people vote. Outside of Pride, we're going to watch The Hunger, because I wanted to watch The Hunger, which is a vampire movie from the 80s with David Bowie and Susan Sarandon. And it is also queer, but it is not Pride.
No, vampires get their own category.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you can have a vampire Pride movie. I believe in you, whoever you are making the vampire Pride movie. But The Hunger isn't it. It's just queer. Yeah. So far, the top two are The Celluloid Closet and Kinky Boots, both of which are amazing. The Celluloid Closet is a documentary that was first a book that channel favorite, least favorite, James Summerton highly plagiarized. highly, highly plagiarized. But it's a very, very good film, very good documentary. And then Kinky Boots is about a drag queen who meets a shoemaker and they make drag queen proof shoes.
That's awesome.
It's lovely. It's great.
I love the I really enjoy watching Trixie Mattel on YouTube. And when she talks about like the logistics of drag, like you are going to be sweaty.
Yeah.
And you are a man in high heels. Like you have the modifications that have to go into their outfits and stuff. It's just really fascinating because it's right up there with really good Hollywood effects and stuff like that. You know, like costume design is so cool. And I love seeing the construction side of it because it's like, oh, I never thought about that. Yeah. What is it like to be almost like 6.5 feet tall? And then wearing heels, like, ooh.
Yeah, that is basically what Kinky Boots is about. But yeah, that's another one where it's there's struggle and then there's triumph. And so I think great pride movie.
Yes.
In my opinion. But yeah, we're also doing something really special in the community this month, and we're trying to raise money for Equality Florida. And so far we've raised, I think, almost $300. I'm not sure if we've passed it yet.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, everyone who's donated. This is so special. Like, I love that you found this charity. And can you tell us why you picked this one specifically?
Yeah, absolutely. So the big reason I chose Equality Florida was, first off, I was looking for ways to give back during Pride Month. I just kind of feel like I used to be really involved in civic organizations and protests and all these other things. And I was like, I kind of need to get back to that. So I was looking for a way to give back. And because I was doing this project for the Birdcage, I thought, wait a minute, there's a place where the Birdcage is set that really needs help. In Florida right now, there's a lot of legislation that is like extremely targeting towards the LGBTQ+ community, including but not limited to the Don't Say Gay law. It's a very vague law. And so the thing is that you're not allowed to, I think the way that they phrase it is like, distract children with queer topics. But it's not even like, there aren't stipulations in the law that say like, you can discuss children's family dynamics. So let's say that Val from the Birdcage, whose own father, played by Robin Williams, had told him as a child to not tell his teacher that his father was gay and that his father owned a drag club. In Florida right now, those teachers probably wouldn't even have those conversations with those students, even though students wanted to have those conversations, because if a parent overheard it, then they could pretty much just report it. And depending on, you know, who was in what mood and what like ideas they had around that law, they could say, oh, well, you're not allowed to talk about that at school.
No, vague laws are the most frustrating thing, especially like anytime it affects teachers. Of course, I get all upset and riled up because, you know, that's what I do. And I work with kids. And the expectation is that as a teacher, not only am I an educator, but I'm also everything else that a child needs. You know what I mean? I'm their confidant. I'm expected to build relationships with kids. But then you have these vague laws come in and they're like, no, you can't talk about this, 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 and this. And it's like, it just puts me as a teacher and other educators in just a horrible position where we like are legally prevented from building relationships with our kids, that, and that's part of the job. Like,
yeah,
because I love, there's this teacher comedian talking about, you know, how teachers get accused of indoctrination and stuff. And she's like, I can't even indoctrinate them to do their homework. Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's just, I know this is kind of a weird segue, but it reminds me a lot of Bob's Burgers. In that show, the kids have their parents and it's a nuclear family and all that. But the kids are also very much raised by their community, which includes a lot of queer characters and their teachers and, you know, counselors at school and everything. And that's so important. That's what makes a good person, is when the community raises the kids, including the queer community. Because the more that a child in general, meets different kinds of people, the more, I don't like the word tolerant because that sounds like they don't like them, they just tolerate them. Yeah. But like, you know, the more open-minded they become, leading to being a better person as an adult. So to hide away the gaze from the children, it's a bad idea. It's a really bad idea. It's stupid. So that's a whole part of the community that they have a right to interact with as children of that community. Anyway, thank you. That was my soapbox.
I appreciate your soapbox. I appreciate it so much because you're really a person out there on the front lines. You know, all of this, I don't have children. I don't live in Florida. You don't live in Florida either, but
I don't, but I'm pretty darn close. I'm closer than you.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not a teacher, so I can only kind of like guess the issues, but I've been told by a person who wants to be a teacher in Florida that they have been told that they need to like work on their behavior because if they, quote, distract students, they could get fired. And of course, what's that behavior? Being a visibly queer person.
Yeah, It's insane.
And what's more distracting to a student, knowing that queer people exist and having them mentioned every once in a while or in the context of, like, another child's family or a child that, like, literally can't, like, the teacher cannot comment on their family. Like,
absolutely insane. Because, like, that there again, like, the more you expose children to different types of people, the more, like, not a big deal it becomes. When you hide different groups from kids, that's when they get obsessed with them and they start calling everybody gay and using it in, like, a derogatory way and all this kind of stuff, because it's like a forbidden thing to them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they turn by don't say gay, you turn it into a big deal when it shouldn't be a big deal at all. Like,
yeah.
If they're like, yeah, my teacher's gay or whatever, boom, it's part of the community, it's part of their normal life, and they're not distracted by it. It reminds me of the stupid dress codes, like how they're now I'm pro dress code because, like, put some clothes on, children, but yeah. But, like, the nitpickiness of it,
yeah,
is insane to me. Like, the your straps have to be X number of fingers wide. First of all, how arbitrary is that?
Yeah.
Like, what if you got skinny fingers? And the reasoning for it is, especially when it's harsher on girls than it is on boys, is because it'll distract the boys. It's like, no, the boys will be distracted no matter what. That's, like, part of their development. Don't put the blame on the girls. Like, let them learn how to deal with that and, like, grow up to be mature young people. Like,
yeah.
It drives me nuts.
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, like, you can't have your underwear showing at school. That seems pretty fine, logical, appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say, no, well, because you're a girl, you know, you're not only insulting the girls by saying their bodies are inherently more dirty than a boy's, but you're insulting the boys by saying you are a mindless pig who can only, you know, focus on that if it's in front of you. There's nothing wrong with having a dress code.
That's exactly what it says. Yeah. And then in some ways it's more restricting on the boys too, because they can't have as many piercings as a girl. Now, granted, girls aren't supposed to have anything but on their ears, but, like, boys aren't supposed to have any at all. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, that's not fair. What if he wants a piercing? Or skirts. What if a boy wants to wear a skirt? It's, you know, I don't know. It's whatever. As long as it... the key parts are covered, I don't care as an adult. I'm not looking at their weird little bodies, okay? They're gross. And I tell them that, too, because they'll be like, I got in trouble for dress code, and then I'll look down and be like, oh, I didn't look because, ew.
Because you're gross. It's really funny sometimes, like, Hubs and I will be watching, like, you know, an anime that's, like, a romance, but they're, like, in high school or something. And I'm always just going, Danny would hate this because she thinks children are disgusting.
They are. No, I hate it when romances are set in high school because, first of all, they never look like high schoolers. Okay, they need to be 20 times more awkward, 10 times more acne, and, like, a lot more fashion disasters. Like, that's just not... It's just what you're supposed to do in that time of
life. That's true. I mean, you have the acne, but the fashion disaster and the awkwardness, absolutely.
Yeah, like, that's just part of it. And anyway, and not nearly enough characters with braces. I don't think people realize most kids who get braces, they have them until they're, like, 14, 15. So you have these animes, and I don't see any braces, and it's wrong.
I think that braces in other countries are actually a lot less common than they are in the United States, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Huh. Well, the whole idea of, like, I mean, the British people have the people that the jokes made about them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure that they're just a lot less popular. Like, you just really don't get them unless, like, you're very wealthy. Like, you know, comment on YouTube if you live in a different country and you're like, braces are super common.
Yeah, tell me, I want to know your braces story.
Yeah, but I do know that at least like when we were in high school, I don't think that other countries had a lot of braces at all, except for when, I definitely think that they were there for people who had, like, actual bite issues, like, you know, things that would cause them actual harm or disability or something, but not for, I had braces and they were 100% for the aesthetic of my teeth.
I had Invisalign when I was in high school. That was a big deal. And I got it because I played flute and they didn't want to change my embouchure too much or whatever. But like, yeah, I remember grossing my friends out every lunch, you know, popping those things off and they're like, ah.
How did I, sorry, side note, how the heck did I play baritone with braces?
A lot of kids, you just basically have to relearn how to form your mouth.
That must have hurt.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember that part hurting at all. I guess it didn't though, because I do remember the parts that really hurt. And I think I played baritone the entire time I had braces. And I don't. Wow. I'm like so tempted now to like go get a mouthpiece and be like, how did I do?
Right. It's weird to remember braces because it's like, I don't know. I remember when I took off my Invisalign, I was always like fascinated by how small my teeth felt, like especially the front teeth, how thin they felt after taking off this huge plastic thing. I was like, wow.
Do you have a permanent bottom retainer?
I do not.
Oh, I do.
I do not. Yeah, I don't have anything. Unfortunately, my teeth have, I feel them have moved a little bit back out. So I probably should get some sort of retainer, but it's not a big deal.
I hear that the top teeth move less and like the bottom teeth have, they put more permanent retainers in the bottom teeth because they'll just get messed up right again.
they'll just go wherever they want to go.
They'll do whatever they want. But anyway, the point is that we are giving to Equality Florida. The other reasons I chose this charity, obviously there's so many different things happening in Florida that are targeting the queer community. And we are trying to protect the rare endangered Floridian gay, as we've been saying.
Because they have to be hidden away, it seems like they're endangered.
It does. And like even businesses are being targeted by their crazy governor, you know, Disney, because like they're speaking out against them. Like, oh, it's just weird, weird stuff. Weird stuff for politicians to do.
If anyone has the power to change Florida politics, it's Disney. Come on, Disney. Come on. Let's get them rainbow mouse ears on and fight.
They're mildly trying, but unfortunately their CEOs are just like very impotent. They just suck. I'm sorry. But yeah, also Equality Florida is the only statewide LGBTQ plus civil rights organization in Florida. They claim that. I double checked it and I was like, yes, I cannot find another one that's not like for South Florida, for this area of Florida. Mm-hmm. And so they mostly focus on like the legal stuff, on, you know, political activism. I know they do a bunch of other stuff too. It's amazing. Queer organizations. If you find like a LGBTQ or LGBTQ plus center near you, they're almost always doing free therapy and it has nothing to do if you're queer or not.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. They just want to help the community and see mental health get better. So I'm not sure if they do any of that. Mostly that's for their political activism, but I just want you to know that queer charities all around the country are there for even people who aren't queer. And I love that. I love that about them. But yeah, this one is just focusing on changing the laws in Florida, getting people justice in Florida. And I know a lot of people in Florida and I know a lot of people who are affected by this. And of course, my Disney family in Florida, like Disney's run by the gays. And
yeah. Where do you think the money comes from?
Yeah. Well, and also just like, you know, when I was a kid, that was the one place that I knew that you could be out and work was at Disneyland. And they have like people will say like, well, what about like, you know, the stuff that happened in the 80s and early 90s? Like, yeah, some stuff happened at the park in the 80s and early 90s. And then they changed their ways. Mm-hmm. It ain't like that no more.
Yeah, they changed it a lot earlier than a lot of other places. So.
Yeah.
Nobody's perfect, but change is always welcome.
When I worked there in, and this, of course, is California, Disneyland. But when I worked there from 2006 to 2014. You could wear whatever costume, like you had to wear the entire costume for a specific gender, but it didn't matter which one you wore. You were just allowed to wear that costume. And so, and you know, people used your proper pronouns. Like obviously it wasn't all across the board, everybody having a perfect time with every single boss and every single manager, but the company line was very clear.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it means a lot to me to be supporting the Floridian gays in their fight. I'm in California sitting on my high horse. you know, we're pretty set out here. So, yeah, if you all would like to give to Equality Florida, there will be a link attached to this episode, and the link is to Twitch. So in my video for the Birdcage, I said that Twitch takes a cut. I thought that Twitch let you, like, put all of your proceeds from your stream into your donations. They don't do that. They just make it easier for people to donate through your stream, and they don't take a cut of those donations.
Okay. That's good.
But I'm gonna do the Twitch link because it just makes it easier, like, to see how much money I've raised on the Twitch link. I just have to, like, go to my Twitch page, whereas my link that I have for Equality Florida directly, which we do have, I have to email somebody to be like, yeah, how much did we raise? So it just makes it a little bit easier for me. But at the end, all told, I'm going to be matching up to $500 in donations from our community, because Hubs and I, this is a huge topic for us. We're very passionate about this, and we just really want to give back. But we also want to encourage others to give back. So if you have the means, not if you don't have the means, if you have the means, then please help give in this beautiful Pride season.
Yes. Thank you, everyone who has given and everyone who will give in the future. We appreciate you.
Also, special thank you to Linry, who is getting the word out there. She has donated $100, which I will be matching. Woo! Yeah. I reached out to her when I was planning this, and I was like, do you know good queer charities? And she was like, no, but I'll help. And I was like, good, good. Feel the pride run through you. So yeah, huge thank you to Linry. That was incredibly, incredibly kind of you. And yeah, so that's there's my soapbox. There's our soapbox for, I don't know, yes, how long we've been going on throughout this, like 20 minutes more.
Well, I guess speaking of pride, we can talk about, do you have any other pride nail art looks planned out already?
Not really planned. Like, of course I want to do some gradients. I want to do at least every one of my pride flags, the ones that I align with, which would be, gay pride, the rainbow, or progress pride with the different colors, the flesh tones mixed in.
Sorry. Flesh tones just makes me laugh.
The flesh.
Flesh tones. But yes, the one with the triangle with, I think it has the trans and then the minority group representation in there.
Yeah. So it'd be that, it would be bisexual, it'd be pansexual, it would be transgender and non-binary. So at least all of those I would like to be covered. But yeah, I'm just gonna try to do a different pride look every single stream. And I don't really have like plans, but I know you want to cop one of my looks this year.
Last year you made some pride butterflies that were so cute and I'm obsessed with, so yeah, that's definitely in the plans for me to copy. I'm gonna steal your look. I'm going to plagiarize a queer creator.
How dare. It's okay, you have my permission.
Thank you. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. So that'll be like my flag look. And then I've actually already done one rainbow set of nails with the new Cirque Vice colors. And oh my goodness, it's so pretty. All I did, it's so easy. All you do is take drops of polish, put them in a line, take a fan brush and go swoop, swoop, and boom, you have rainbow decals that look so good. So yeah, gradienting is fun, and I like to do a lot of gradients during Pride, but when you want to get all 7 rainbow colors on your nail, I highly recommend the decal method with a fan brush, because, ooh, painting those onto a teeny tiny sponge and then sponging them in the exact spot every single time, that's a lot. So yeah, definitely enjoy doing that. I've been using a lot of neons. For a birthday collab, I did some psychedelic looking smiley faces with the Cirque Vice collection. I've used the bleached neons I got from Glisten and Glow in a fun like pineapple look. But yeah, it's full on neon summer for me.
Yeah, I'm planning on using mostly neons in all of my looks. It's my general idea. I'm like, I'm just going to use the Cirque Vice collection in every single...
In everything, yes.
In every single look. I actually just had an idea. I think I might do a fluid art, maybe do more butterflies, and maybe do a fluid art background and just make it, ooh, like trans-themed. Yes. I think that'd be very good.
That would be good.
We love the trans butterflies. But yeah, there are rainbows other places in the nail polish world. And last time we were talking about Hollow Taco's new rock candy collection, it has since come out. And everywhere you look, everywhere, there's a swatch and review of somebody who has this collection. But yep. Yeah, so many swatch and reviews. Danny, you have this collection.
I do. I don't think I'm going to do a swatch and review because, as you so eloquently put it, they're everywhere. I don't think anyone needs my opinion on it because my opinion is very simple. They're pretty. That's it. They're nice. In the bottle, when I see swatch pictures of it, I wasn't super excited about this. Mostly, I think, because I was really hoping we would get another linear rainbow collection, because that's my favorite thing from Hollow Taco, and I was really hoping for like the electric hollows but in a rainbow form. That's okay, maybe someday. This one I'm pretty happy with. The crushed hollow formula is gorgeous. It has a lot of visual texture without any actual texture, so like painting it on is a delight. And I saw a few comparisons to the Cirque Colors shimmer graphic formula, and they're definitely more opaque, which is kind of what I expect from Hollow Taco. So they're all two coaters on me. Even the white was it was a two coater. There was a teeny tiny amount of visible nail line, so if that bothers you, you use a blurring base or three coats and you're fine. It didn't bother me at all. It was hardly there. And I have heard, mostly Lenry, comment that it's weird that there's a white and this is like a winter shade. I disagree.
Same.
I disagree because the shimmer is like this warm yellow kind of golden shimmer in there. It's very like white sandy beach feeling. And I'm very excited about the white. I call it a white. Honestly, it's a gray. And that's why I'm excited about it, because this will replace Featured Guest for me. I love Featured Guest, the quote-unquote white linear hollow from Hollow Taco, but it's at least three coats, and I always, like, have trouble with it. And I always end up putting it over a white base because it just never really reaches opacity for me. This reached opacity in two-ish coats, and it's the same color. It's still linear, so I'm gonna be using this. So I'm excited about it. Plus, it's a rock candy collection, and I don't know if you've ever seen rock candy, but there's always a white one. There's always like a clear.
Oh, clear.
There's always a clear, like, just plain sugar one. So, like, yeah, it makes sense.
Do you want to eat just sugar? Just.
It. Yeah, which is all rock candy is, but, like, not even food dye, just sugar.
Yeah.
You know, that's what this is. So, I think it's... It stays true to the theme of the collection, which I really appreciate because I'm still not over that stupid space collection from Hollow Taco. It was like weirdly vampires, with one exception. And we talked about this last time, and that's Blue Rizzler, because I still don't know what that has to do with like music. So with the exception of the blue, they all make a lot of sense to me. So...
Usually I'm the one that has weird vendettas against like Hollow Taco or other brands. And it's amazing to see somebody else, specifically you, get so mad.
I will never forgive them for Or Bite Me. I will never, ever forgive them.
We were mispronouncing that for so long.
Because Orbit Me makes so much more sense.
I mean, it does, but that's also not good. It wasn't really great. Like, yes and no. But yeah, so speaking of, okay, we've got to talk about this. So we did Polish Pickup Bingo. We weren't going to talk about Polish Pickup Bingo, but I have to talk about one facet of Polish Pickup Bingo, because there is a company that has it out for me that lives to annoy me. And that is Sassy Cat's Lacquer.
Yep.
And the reason that Sassy Cat's Lacquer annoys me so much is they have... one of the cutest bottles I've ever seen in my life.
It's got kitties on it.
It's got kitties. They're hollow. It's one of those, like, I don't know how to, PNG stickers that doesn't have the border. I'm like, I don't know what I would call that in sticker form, but like a borderless sticker. It looks so beautiful on the bottle, and their polishes are always a color I don't want.
Yep.
Always.
They're always the same color, too.
That's the thing. Not only, so like, their general vibe is somewhere between a coral and a mauve.
Mm-hmm.
a whole color area that has almost no interest for me. Like, there, that is no, zero interest. I mean, okay, I guess red is in there, but, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they are definitely towards these muted tones. Mm-hmm. They're not like vibrant corals. It's like, it's always muted.
Yeah. And they're always appear to be, from their swatches and stuff, kind of a more sheer kind of maybe shimmer formula. Like, when it comes to polished pickup, the louder and crazier you are, the higher the chance that we'll be interested in you. And yeah, a sheer shimmer ain't gonna do it.
Yeah. Like, unless, okay, there's some companies that, like, I would consider a sheer shimmer from. We don't usually buy from them, but, like, Lumen, the one that's also like Lumen but isn't. the other one.
Oh my god.
I don't remember. Don't worry.
Anyway.
But yeah, so last month they had this mauve shade, and I was like, oh my god, this stupid mauve shade. And I brought up a few examples of, like, past ones, including the one right before, which was a very similar mauve shade. And then one, like, a few months before, which was still a mauve shade. I found, like, a yellow one in the middle, which was a nice change, but it wasn't, like, it, again, it was a sheer shimmer, like Danny says. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't buy that one. And so, like, we were, you know, people were saying on the Discord, like, oh, I can't believe they're all so similar. Well, wouldn't you believe? April.
You pulled up the receipts.
Mauve shimmer. May. Mauve shimmer.
Mm-hmm.
June. Mauve shimmer.
It really is offensive. It really is offensive, because polished pickup is your chance as a brand to just go a little crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's a limited edition thing. You just make a small batch, you know, put a cap on it, and, like, just go crazy. But no, mauve shimmer, 3 months in a row, minimum. I'm sure there's been plenty of other mauve shimmers in the past.
Yeah, but this one was just, this was beyond. I was, Danny can attest, like, I was complaining the entire time we got off of the stream, and I continued to complain.
I think justifiably so. I wasn't here, I was like yes agree.
She was like, go snuggle husbando and try to not think about sassy cats.
We did agree that, like, next polish pickup bingo, I'm gonna look ahead and make sure, see what sassy cats is up to, and if it's mauve, if it's a sheer shimmer in any mauve to coral color family, we're just going to pretend it's not there.
Yeah.
We're just going to skip right over it.
You don't get free advertising. You don't get Stephanie having a tantrum, getting you more polishes because I threw a tantrum. No, it's like, and even, you know, my mod Vero in the Discord was just like, this is completely, like antithetical to the polish pickup idea. Like, mm-hmm. We want different stuff every month, and these don't even seem to be themed. Like, they did Courage and Cowardly Dog, but I think that's because it was mauve, and so is Courage.
Yeah, and that's something we've started to notice with a couple of brands. They seem to just have a polish, you know, on the back burner, or that's been sitting on the shelf for a while, that they kind of, like, pigeonhole into whatever theme for that month, which, you know, it happens, because once a month coming up with a polish that's based on a theme, like, that's a lot. That's a lot to do, for especially these little indie makers who are making them out of their home sometimes. So I get it, but I'm still, like, frustrated by it.
Yeah, there's one brand in particular, and I'm not going to name names because I don't have anything against this brand, that I absolutely 100% know from people who have told me that they plan out what they're going to have for polish pickup way before. They know the theme, and then they just try to kind of, like, shoehorn the theme in. And I think sometimes they made one polish that I was like, oh, I think that was planned. You know, because it, like, the theme and everything worked really well with it, and it was different than what they usually, not, like, completely different, but a different colorway. So yeah, like, there's one brand that does that. I've seen them do stuff that is good, or that is good, but that works better, ones that work worse. Obviously, I'm not actually mad at Sassy Cats. I don't need to buy their polishes. It's just really sad when I see a bottle that I really love, and I've literally been waiting over a year to buy a Sassy Cats. I keep saying I'm going to buy a Sassy Cat as soon as I see one that I like, and it's been over a year and they have not released a single one that I like.
No, it's really frustrating because, like, I love Polish Pickup, and I want to support the creators, and it would be nice if I found it in my heart to buy from different brands every month rather than the same old favorites. But the same old favorites are just, they're just too good. Like, compared to some sheer shimmers, nah.
Yeah, like, you should definitely, not definitely, it's good to expand your horizons. Mm-hmm. But if you are looking at the picture and see one that you don't like and another that you do like, and the one that you do like is the same old brand, you buy that Cadillac, or I'll name names.
yeah, for sure. Right now on my wish list, I've got BCB lacquers. I've had ethereal lacquers, which that one I don't have too many from. I've got a Sassy Sauce. I love me some Sassy Sauce. And then, of course, Glisten and Glow and Lemming Lacquer, which, again, I don't have very many of, but the few that I do, I really enjoy. They also have one of the cutest labels, the little lemming cuddling the bottle. Like, oh. I just realized this on Lemming Lacquer, that the bottle is see-through on the label, so the lemming is, like, cuddling that exact polish. You know what I mean? That's adorable.
Yes. Yeah. I love the Cattail Lacquer bottle, which I haven't seen them in Polish Pickup recently. I hope that they're still making polish, but they have, like, they also have a window in theirs, and it's, like, this beautiful, full color, like, I would say kind of neons are in their bottle picture. It's like a black cat, and then there's kind of like a synthetic symphony kind of purple and like a yellow. It's beautiful. I love it. But again, there was one time they had a polish that I wanted, I would consider buying, and I haven't seen them release another one since then.
Yeah, we'll see, because next month is Rewind.
Yes.
Which I'm looking forward to. So we'll see. Rewind is these brands, their chance to bring back, you know, their most popular and their most loved polishes. So I feel like Rewind is their showstoppers, right? It's like the ones that everyone's really excited about and misses. So hopefully we'll get some Sassy Cats. We'll get some polishes that we've been missing out on.
I really hope so. But you know what? So many people I know love Sassy Cats, and they love that mauve. That mauve colorway. I'm looking at you, Wendy. I'm looking at you, Earth Girl. Yes. Wendy gave me a Sassy Cats, and she just surprised me with it when she sent me something else. And I was extremely, extremely grateful. But yeah, we we have different tastes, definitely. So yeah, I'm not hating on Sassy Cats entirely, but I am in this context hating on Sassy Cats.
Speaking of things returning, Cirque Colors is back with their California Dreamin' collection, which is a beloved collection of these shimmer polishes that have a contrasting shimmer to their almost neon base. On some of them, it really is a true neon, and oh, they're so gorgeous, and they have a little smattering of holographic glitter that just adds that extra oomph, deliciousness.
Sorry, I'm being a bad podcaster right now because I just realized that Cirque has a rewards program, and that I am going to order this entire collection because I have a lot of points.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I think I can get up to, how much can I get off? It looks like I can get $40 off of this purchase. Oh,
sweet.
With my points, because I have like 800 points. And for 400, I can get 40 off. So I'm going to do that. But
do that.
Anyway, yeah, these polishes are so gorgeous. Flamingo, which is in this collection. It's one of my favorite pinks of all time. It's like one of the first bottles I really had a fill line on. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first Cirque colors I ever bought for myself. My mom bought a few Cirque colors when, like, she was buying me Holo Taco because I wanted Holo Taco. Because I wasn't in his nail polish yet. And I think that some of them were sold out. And my mom was like, oh, well, I found like these ones. They're this like company called Cert Colors. And they're kind of like these other ones. And I hope you like them. And me being a little brat, even though I was like 30, I was just kind of, I didn't say anything to her, obviously, because that'd be so mean. But I was just like, oh, like these are, those aren't Holo Taco. I don't care about the nail polish. I care about Holo Taco. Yes, she cared about the nail polish. Yeah, oh, geez. I have 800 points on CERN. I don't have that kind of points on Holo Taco.
The points reveal all. Yeah, CERN, I bought a lot of CERN when I started collecting nail polish because they have just such beautiful polishes. Nowadays, I'm a lot more picky about my CERN purchases, but definitely I'm probably going to get a few from this collection. I have Kokomo, pretty sure I have Catalina, but I definitely need to get like High Society and Flamingo if I don't have them already.
Yes, and High Society is a 420 polish that they released 3 years ago, and I have been dying for it to come back. And the only way that it came back was through their like Christmas like advent calendar in a mini. Yeah, no. And Sir Colors are already minis.
I was gonna say they're already minis. Let's be real.
Right? Like, I love Cirque, but guys, your bottles are too small, your price is too high.
Yes. Yeah. What is the normal Cirque is 11 milliliters. Like, that's as small as you can go and still be considered full size.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Well, you know, okay. Sorry, tangent time. But you saw my Black Creams video.
Yeah.
Freaking Sally Hansen Insta Dries. Those are 9.47.
Yeah.
But ridiculous. They're
also, how expensive are they?
They're between $6 and $8.
Yeah. Whereas a CERC for only 2 milliliters more is $14 to $15. So I can forgive Sally. CERC, you have no right making minis.
Yeah, like, I mean, for me, it's for the Sally's. It's just like, you're a drugstore brand. How dare you? Oh, yeah. How dare you do that price per ounce?
True, that's true.
And the bottles tip over because they're so tall and skinny. Not even just in your drawer. Because I know that, like, I don't think Sally Hansen thinks of the polish collector necessarily when they make polishes, except for maybe their limited editions. You know, they're not really like, oh, how is this going to fit into a drawer for somebody who's, you know, using it? Because probably they assume that most of the people buying them have like a shoebox.
Yep.
And they're probably correct.
Mm-hmm. Although, a basket under the bathroom sink.
Yeah. Although almost every polish collector I know has a fair amount of Sally Hansen's. It's not like we don't have any. Maybe you don't have any, Danny. I know that
I don't have any. I have a weird collection is what I'm learning. The more I talk to other people about their collections and what they've got is the more I realize that I have a very limited, weird collection.
I think you dove in head first to the indies.
Yeah, I did. I didn't know drugstore brands were allowed.
And I'm always the kind of person to be like, oh, hey, what's that piece of crap over there? Let me try it and see if it's good. And sometimes they are.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. Like, I hear a lot of good things about some of those Sally Hansen's and OPIs and China Glaze. I have a few from those brands in my, like, before times basket. But yeah, primarily, I'd say my biggest, like, it's not a drugstore brand, but my biggest, like, mainstream brand is now Orly. Mm-hmm. And I would argue Holo Taco is mainstream enough. And that's about it.
Yeah. Well, definitely, like, I don't prefer the drugstore brands. I don't prefer the budget brands. My favorite polish brands are Orly and Cirque, which are really two ends. They're so similar in some ways. They're both indie brands that don't feel indie.
Right.
Technical
big house brands. Indies.
Yeah, big house indies. Orly's obviously a much bigger house even than Cirque. But you know, with Orly, it's like leaning towards drugstore and really amazing price per ounce. And then Cirque, it's like leaning towards, I don't know, designer.
Yeah. And they really are going for the designer. And
insane they're on price
opposite
per
coasts.
Ounce. Yeah, they're on opposite coasts. Like these are foils of each other. But yeah, so back to the collection though. I only got a Flamingo and I kind of wish I'd gotten all the other ones. But I have been talking for years about getting Flamingo back, so I'm absolutely going to order another bottle of that. I'm excited to see how they compare. It definitely looks like a more vibrant pink than my Flamingo is now.
Okay.
However, looking back at the pictures of Flamingo that I did back when I first got it, my Flamingo doesn't seem that faded to me. So I'm very curious to try them side by side, because I've just been hearing so many people. There has become, like, in our community at least, like, a lot of people talking about neons the same way that we talk about thermals. Saying, like, I don't want to buy neons because they're going to fade. And I do think that I have seen that in some of my polishes. I do think both of my munchies that I have are a little bit faded. I have one that I bought when it was first out, and then somebody very graciously reached out to me and offered to sell me their bottle of munchies that they hadn't opened. So now I have two, which is great, but I do think it has faded a bit. But there's a lot of polishes that I don't feel like I've faded at all that I own. So I'm really interested to test more of these, like, re-releases and stuff to see kind of like where we are, if they're fading. Also, as most people know who are listening to this probably, I, like, keep all of my polishes very, like, in a drawer, away from the sun, everything. And I wonder how, like, my neons fare compared to somebody who leaves them out. You know, I don't know.
No, I'm very curious to see that, because, I mean, there's batch to batch differences sometimes with polishes, but definitely I'd like to know if I should be keeping my neons, which I also keep most of mine in my drawers. But yeah, should they be, like, protected? to the same degree that thermals are. Lots of things I wish I knew from the beginning of our polish journey, but we can talk more about that after a cuticle break.
But yeah, it's just a really interesting topic how polishes age, because especially when everybody was having their issues with cold shoulder.
Yes.
Which I still find, I kind of wish I'd gotten cold shoulder just so I could have experienced that with everybody. But there was a person who made this amazing infographic. They collected a bunch of info from people who had their cold shoulder change, including what color and the consistency of it. And the people who kept it in the most, quote, optimal conditions, cold, dark place, theirs were the ones that changed the most.
Yeah, which is not at all what you would expect.
No. So there's so much that we don't know. Polish to polish, there's so many unknowns. But these polishes are so gorgeous. You need to check them out. They're shimmers with, like, a smattering of holo. That's my favorite formula from Cert Colors. The shimmer graphics are growing on me. But the thing is that when holographics aren't going full holo, they tend to just kind of look like noise to me.
Which, that's what I meant by the visual texture of the crushed holo of these new holo tacos. And yeah, that's exact my same feelings on it. I'd kind of rather just have linear hollows that show off the full rainbow. But I'll take what I can get.
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta. So yeah, now that I know that I have all those points, I am definitely going to be buying this collection. I think I'm going to add that blue from the Tea Time collection, because it has been calling to me.
Oh, tipsy turvy? Oh.
Right? Rarely am I like that blue, but right now I am like that blue.
That blue. Yeah, and this one, you know, if anyone is kind of comparing the holo taco to the shimmer graphics from Cert Colors, a lot of the colors are really similar. This blue is not. These are completely different blues. So I think you're justified getting both when it comes to
It's out of stock!
No. Oh, they're all out of stock. Oh, no.
No. Oh, no. Okay, I guess I'm not getting this. I'm going to have to try to get it from somebody else.
Okay.
That's no, so no, I did this to myself. I should have ordered it with the Vice collection. All right. Well, on that depressing note, I think that we are going to oil our cutes. And when we come back, we are going to be answering a question from our dear friend Jadoob. We will be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Stephanie. And I'm here to say that if you're loving the show, please consider joining us on our Patreon, where you can be a lackey. That's L-A-C-Q-U-I, lackey. Every new lackey gets a special shout out on the podcast. And now, back to the show. All right. right, everybody, we are back. We are moisturized. We are in our lane. We are thriving, and we are answering a question from Jadoob. If you would like to ask your own audience question, you could always throw that on YouTube, or you can put it in the Discord. 18 plus for that Discord, though. It is Fanatic Years Funhouse, and we have a great time over there. But yeah, 18 plus, please. Anyway, this is from Jadoob, and they ask, they set up a scenario.
It is a scenario question, which I love.
Yes, it's great. I love when people show their personality through the question, and I think YouTube definitely does that. You get to go back in time and subliminally implant one piece. You get to go back in time and tell Luffy where the treasure is. Anyway, you have to go back in time and subliminally implant one piece of advice to your past self about the nail polish journey you're just starting. Do you have words of wisdom about organizing, advice on fighting FOMO, rules on spending limits to be respected, something else, or just say laissez bon temps rouler, which means let the good times roll? Do we have rules, or would we just be like, you're doing amazing, sweaty?
I mean, this one's related to what we were talking about before the cuticle break. I would tell my past self, or subliminally implant, however that works, to swatch upon arrival. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So many times I have gotten polishes, I looked at them in the bottle, and I was like, oh, this is so pretty, I love this, and then put them in the drawer for, you know, for some of them forever. I still haven't swatched them, but for a lot of them, at least months at a time or whatever. And then it just makes everything harder, because it's like, do I have a blue with green glitters in it? And it's like, I have to go digging through my drawers instead of pulling up a nicely organized spreadsheet. And if only, so I am paying for my crimes now and going back and trying to swatch my entire collection. It's taking forever. It's so much work. But I wish I just did when I got the polishes in the mail that day. That's what I would say.
Yeah, so my one piece of advice, and I think that we should also talk about other advice because, you know, we got some time. One piece of advice I tell myself, I'm pretty happy with how my collecting has gone. I don't feel like I made a lot of big mistakes when it came to collecting, except for maybe like buying too many kind of like placeholder polishes that were just like, you know, creams that were outdated as soon as like I got them, basically. Yeah. But that's not really a big thing. Those are mostly pretty cheap. The big thing I would tell myself would be, if you decide to make content about this, because when I first started, obviously, I did not know I was going to be making content about this, make bad YouTube videos.
Yeah. Instead of waiting.
Yeah. I was so nervous. Or actually, maybe the biggest thing I would say to myself, but then again, if I had said this to myself in the beginning, I might not even be in this hobby, like, or at least I probably would be in the hobby, but I might not even be making this content. Don't worry about showing your face. Mm. I didn't really want to show my face. And I had this idea, and I'm kind of living that idea now through my curated collection series, of like doing nail art and making like commentary videos about like film and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would do that without showing my face. And then I was like, oh, but I hate filming myself doing manis. I like streaming it, but I hate filming it and editing it and trying to figure out how like my voiceover should go and all this stuff. And I should have told myself, don't worry about showing your face and don't worry about making good videos.
Yeah.
Just get in there, do it. Eventually they will be good.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to be perfect straight up. That's a great piece of advice. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I love that. Yeah, if we can break the rule and give more than one piece of advice. Sorry, Jadoob. I'm going to immediately ignore.
These are the one pieces of advice. And now these are the other ones if we have like a short list.
Yeah. Like, so for sure, like swatching upon arrival is my number one rule. Swatch but on arrival. Also like, you know, organizing the spreadsheet as things come in and as I order things. That's always really important. And advice on fighting FOMO, because the FOMO was strong when I first started collecting polishes. And that's why I have so many circs, is because I was like, I must buy the entire collection. If I like even one polish, I cannot separate it from its sisters. They must come all together. That was silly. That was very silly. There was no need to do that. And I also had this weird This is a little revealing, and I'm a little scared of the judgment. But, like, yeah, I had this idea of, like, I'm going to like a few brands and just own everything from those brands. And so I was just, like, ordering kind of random polishes without really thinking about it, just to, like, collect from different brands. That was stupid. I didn't need to do that.
I don't think that that's something you have to worry about people judging you for. That's not... I was thinking something way worse.
No, I just... I feel judged every time I open my spreadsheet and it auto tallies the, because I have a price column, you know, and it auto tallies the total, and I hate that. I need to find a way to turn that off. The only brand at this point that I collect fully is Holo Taco. And even that, I am considering changing my ways ever so slightly. I know. I still intend to own everything Holo Taco puts out. However, when it comes to sale time, the royalty sale and then Black Friday sale, I miss out because I already own everything. There's literally nothing for me to take advantage sale-wise from that. So I might start, if a collection is not limited edition, I might start waiting until the sales to buy them, which is going to be a big change for me. If there's a limited edition box or it's a limited edition polish, I still plan to buy it right away to get the box. And anything limited edition, but yeah, for their regular bundles that they release in between collections, I might start waiting for sales. And that's a big step for me. I'm ashamed to admit.
Yeah, no, it's wild. I actually never thought I'd hear you say that.
I know. It's weird. It's weird, but that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, you know, I don't need it right away.
Yeah, I've never really like suffered from FOMO too much. Like I'm not saying I never do. And then definitely sometimes I'm like, I'm not going to give into the FOMO. And then I regret not giving into the FOMO. Mm-hmm. Like that is.
That's happened.
Yeah. And I've like thought that through because before I've been like, oh, well, I should have bought specifically Winifred when it was on sale for $20 because I ended up buying it for $100. And that's ridiculous. True. That is ridiculous. But if I were to go add up all the stuff that I had FOMO about and did not get, it would have been way more than $100. So at the end of the day, okay, maybe it was dumb of me to wait on that. But like having that impulsive mindset of I'm going to buy this immediately and nobody can stop me kind of thing. Like even if there is one that like you end up regretting with all of your heart and end up spending a crazy amount of money to replace, like think about, would you really have saved money had you been less scaled back?
Yeah.
Would you actually save that money? And in that case, I don't think I would have if I just bought everything that I thought would be cool.
I think that's a great way to look at it.
Thanks. The other thing I would tell myself too, because like again, like I do think I have too many polishes, but at the same time, there's not really a one piece of advice I would give myself about purchasing. But the one piece of advice I would give myself would be, don't worry about, the influencer side of things. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about getting that PR. Don't worry about impressing brands, impressing companies, being important in that way, quote, important in that way. You know, I've been thinking a lot about that. Like a long time ago, I kind of decided that I would only be doing, PR just when it felt right. Basically, yeah. And not pursuing it and not like trying to get it and things like that. One thing, I know a lot of people who get a lot of PR and they have a lot of polishes that they just don't care about. And they don't always get the polishes they care about. So they're not even necessarily saving money. Mm-hmm. Unless you're like a Kelly Marissa and you can get whatever you want, basically. Like, you're not necessarily going to be saving money. You don't necessarily make hardly any money off of de-stashing. So it's not like if you're getting PR, you're getting everything that you want in the world. You're just getting a lot of free polish and some of them you're going to love and a lot of them are going to be going into your de-stash. But yeah, like my favorite influencer who you could call an influencer or a video essayist or whatever is, of course, Jenny Nicholson. And she never leans on her influencerdom to get anything. And she judges things based off of what she actually gets, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, is Jenny Nicholson the most popular YouTuber of all time? No, she's not. because she takes her time with videos, because she's niche, because she does things the way that she wants to do things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. And also, like, the time that I really became uninterested in pursuing PR, it was a time where a lot of my friends were getting PR. Mm-hmm. And I noticed in myself this level of jealousy, and I hated that.
Yeah.
I hated that. I did not want to be in competition with my friends. I wanted to support my friends. I wanted to be their cheerleader. I always want that. And so I try to get myself out of positions where I feel like I need to be competitive with people and into positions of collaboration and into positions of just mutual support, mm-hmm. you know, where there's enough of everything to go around for everybody. So, and I'm really happy because I think that that's really reflected in our community. So many people make videos, so many people make content. Everybody's always just complimenting each other's manis, copying each other's looks and giving each other credit. And I love that so much because, like, yeah, the jealousy monster can come out of me and take over my persona. And no, I don't, that ain't me. I don't like that.
No, that's so true. For a while there, I was like, oh, it'd be so cool to get PR and stuff like that. But you're right. Like, I don't want to take on, I don't want to adopt too many polishes that I can't take care of. Polishes are like fish. There's too many.
You get them in a shirt.
With a picture of my pot. Speaking of which, sorry. A little bit of tangent time. My in-laws are getting ready to head to their summer home, which means that we have to go take care of their fish pond. And they said they've had some raccoon visitors and they think there's only one fish left. So we've got to go save that fish. So I'm adopting one more fish.
Just one more fish, she says.
Just one more fish. Just one more polish. It's all the same.
They're not fixed, though, so you're always going to have more fish.
With goldfish, luckily, they do have some specific spawning, like, requirements that I do not provide.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully no. But also, animals are going to do whatever they want to do, so.
Life finds a way, as they say. Exactly.
But yeah, you're right, because I have not tried to de-stash very many polishes, but it has been a pain in the butt when I have. So I can't imagine sitting there with, like, just hundreds of polishes that I don't like or don't care about, just taking up space in my life. I actually need to do a little bit of de-stashing of what I already have and make sure, because that's my goal, is just a very curated, I know every polish by name. And, like, whatever they're, it, you know, it could just be, like, as simple as, oh, I got this in a color pass and it's really pretty. Or it could be red nail polish inspired by red nail polish and have a whole story behind it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just want to know all my polishes. And I didn't realize that was going to be so important in the beginning. So that's another piece of advice that I would break the rules and subliminally inject into my past self, like, quality over quantity.
Yeah, that goes right back into when I was talking earlier about, like, when I was buying a lot of cheap polishes early on.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I would say about the actual polish collecting. Like, I bought tons of those smoke and mirrors polishes. Do I regret it? Not exactly. We got that video out of it. We all love laughing about Pearl World. And it didn't cost me a lot because there were like 7-piece collections, $5 a piece. I probably have spent $100 total on that whole collection, maybe less. But I have a lot of polishes that I just bought to buy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, maybe this will work. Or polishes that people said, like, could stamp. That's one of those big things that it's something that I guess I would tell myself, but, like, I found out pretty soon. But, like, I see people so often being so frustrated about stamping. And then you ask them, are you using stamping polish? And they're not.
Yeah.
And they're like, but I heard that you could do it without stamping polish. And I'm like, if you are new to stamping, don't do that to yourself.
Yeah.
If you're old to stamping and want to experiment, that's fine. And, I mean, obviously everything's fine if you're not hurting anybody. But, like, if you're an experienced stamper, you can experiment and you'll be like, well, that didn't work or that did work. But when you're new, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, because when you're new, you kind of assume it's all your fault. And yeah. It's not. It's not. You need to use a good quality stamping polish and, you know, a good quality stamper. And once you understand how it works, that, yeah, like you said, that's when you can start experimenting because you know what it's supposed to be like.
Yeah, Exactly. Don't set yourself up for failure in a process that's already frustrating to learn.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to do stamping, but I'm going to buy a bunch of things that aren't actually stamping polishes to make it harder for myself. Don't be that guy. Just buy Pueen. They're cheap. They're on Amazon and they're black. It's my favorite black. All right. On that note, I think that's enough for today. Danny, take us out.
Thank you all so much for listening. Please check out our YouTube channel and leave a comment with your favorite moment, a story to share, and of course, any questions you'd like us to answer in future episodes.
Be sure to check out Danny and I on Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, and Patreon. I am Fanatic here. She is Danny Shout. All of our links are in the description. Join us next time where we get rainbow braces to celebrate Pride.
Stay lacquered.